this meeting of the committee to hold together this evening. I would ask that the clerk call the roll.
Ammons.
Present.
Anderson.
Here.
Beckett.
Here.
Benzel.
Betts.
Here.
Carter. Cowart.
Present.
Dennett.
Here.
Gladney.
Present.
James.
Here.
Jay.
Here.
Jones.
Here.
Knott.
Here.
Kurtz.
Here.
Langenheim. McGinty.
Here.
Michaels.
Here.
Mosier. Muto.
Here.
O'Connor.
Here.
Richards. Rosales.
Here.
Sapp. Schrader.
Yes.
Smucker.
Here.
Weibel. Wysocki.
Here.
I think we do have a quorum. I would entertain a motion to approve the County Board resolution to meet as a committee of the whole.
So moved.
Second. Moved by Mr. Rosales, seconded by Mr. Schmucker. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. Chair would entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the public hearing on the County Board size and district of March 9th and the committee of the whole minutes of April 13th, 2010.
Moved.
Moved by Mr. James, seconded by Ms. Wysocki. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. Mr. McGinty.
I'd like to move approval of the agenda and the addenda and ask that the county administrator be allowed to address specifically changes to the budget prior to public participation. We did this last year, if you'll remember, in an effort to provide sort of an update to and all of the most recent information to what the numbers are right now prior to public participation that proved to be useful exercise, because then the comments were geared toward the most useful information. So I would like to make that motion, please.
Is there a second?
Second.
The second by Mr. Na. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. Ms. Busey.
At your desk this evening and scattered hopefully also throughout the audience is an attachment, which is attachments to agenda items 10B9, which has to do with amending the 2010 budget. The first attachment is the current general corporate fund projection report for fiscal year 2010. And the first page of that is the revenue, and if you look, you will see that about halfway down the page, starting with state shared revenue, actually the sales taxes are performing fairly well. And some good news was we received our May distribution today. The quarter cent sales tax we received for May, which reflects retail sales in Champaign County in February, was up 9.75%. And that is the first time in 17 months that there has been an increase in that revenue stream. At the same time, the public safety sales tax quarter spend was up 6%. And again, the first time in 16 months that that revenue had been up. So the good news is that it looks like our sales taxes may come close to meeting our projections for the budget for this fiscal year. However, a little further down the page, you'll see state reimbursement. This is reimbursement from the Administrative Office of the Illinois Courts for salaries in the probation court services and JDC departments, and a little below that, income tax, which is projected to be down almost $810,000. Both of these revenue streams, we are experiencing significant slowdown in payment by the state. They, in terms of sales, the income tax payments we have received thus far this year were actually payments that should have been received last year. And all indicators are that we should not anticipate improvement in how the state is paying these revenues to us. So we have to be realistic about what we will not see in revenue from the state in these lines in fiscal year 2010, primarily because we can't afford to have our fund balance drop significantly. The other significant area of loss is in general government. This is the fees revenue that all the county officials and offices collect. And currently, it is projected to be down almost $463,000 over what we have budgeted, which brings our total revenue shortfall to just over $2 million and coming in at 94% of what's budgeted for this year. The next page demonstrates expenditures and our projections of where we think we'll end up with expenditures. And at this point, it looks like we will underspend our budget by $514,000, or that we will spend 98.4% of what is budgeted, which is fairly consistent. It means our department heads are being careful, but we rarely are we able to spend 100% of our budget, so we would expect to see somewhere in the 98 to 99% range as what we would spend. The last page shows the effect of those revenues and projections and expenditure projections. And right now, based on what we see, and this is through first 5 months of the year, some of the revenues for the first 6 months, a $1.6 million deficit for the General Corporate Fund for fiscal 2010. This would bring our fund balance to a negative position. Realizing this in the last couple weeks, it was determined that we needed to cut the fiscal 2010 budget. And the goal that we set was to cut the budget by $1 million. Cutting $1 million leaves some expectation and hope that some of these revenues will improve more than how they look here today, but also gets us to a position where we don't overspend or spend more than we bring in fiscal year 2010. About the middle of last week or towards the end of last week, a request was sent to all of the elected officials and department heads in the General Corporate Fund to cut their budgets, and the request for cuts was based on the following. We first identified stationery and printing costs, where we had almost $100,000 left in expenditure authority for this year, and conference and training costs, where we had almost $50,000 left for this year, and requested that departments who had money left in those lines cut it from this year's budget. We also recommended cutting the capital transfer that would pay for future reserves for equipment for the General Corporate Fund departments, and the total savings on that was $134,564, which the initial estimates brought us to, we would have cut about $280,000. To get to $1 million, we figured we had to cut about $720,000, and $720,000 is just about what one payroll costs the General Corporate Fund. So, to recommend cuts to the departments, we took the value of one payroll and asked every department to cut that amount from their expenditure for the balance of this fiscal year. The second attachment, you will see the result of that effort by the elected officials and department heads. It's provided to you in two forms. The first one lists the cuts as they are made by department, and the second one, which is the last two sheets of the handout, shows the cuts as they have made by category, as they have been made by category of expense. So, looking at the second document, you'll see that total personnel cuts equal $437,588. We were not able to cut the entire amount identified for stationery and printing of $97,000, but $63,762 was cut. Total commodities were cut by $135,866. Conference and training was cut by $38,069, which was not quite the $50,000 that we had first identified. Some of that money had already been obligated for training. The total cuts and services are $190,573, bringing us to a grand total of $983,113, which is very, very close to the $1 million goal that we had set. This information is all being provided to you this evening, and later on in the agenda, you may be asked to vote on accepting this, but it would be brought back to you as a formal budget amendment at your May 20th meeting so that we could get these cuts implemented before we start the second half of the fiscal year on June 1st. In addition to this information, I would just like to point out two other things to you. In your goldenrod attachment tonight, you have two revised recommendations. Number six, the elected official salary recommendation, has been revised. It's on pages 12 to 14 of this attachment, and basically the recommendation has been changed to, you need to set their salaries for the treasurer, county clerk, sheriff, and county board chair for the next 4 years. You need to set them this month for the four-year term. The recommendation has been amended to a 0% increase for fiscal 2011, a 0% increase for fiscal 2012, and a cost of living adjustment as defined by the PTEL COLA that we receive every year, or CPI, for fiscal year 2013 and fiscal year 2014. So that's an amendment or a revision since what you received with your packet and what we presented to you last month. In addition to that, there's also a recommendation for the non-bargaining employees' fiscal 2011 salary administration plan that had previously included wage increases for the non-union employees, and that recommendation is changed to a 0% or wage freeze for fiscal year 2011, just as those employees had in fiscal year 2010. And that's just the basic overview of where we are with this financial picture at this point.
Questions from board members?
Mr. Schrader.
Question for Ms. Busey. I might understand that general fees and such for the county is collected are in the local government revenue column, or is that in the general?
No, the fees that we collect are called general government.
Okay.
Local government revenue is revenue that we receive from the city of Champaign, the city of Urbana, the village of Savoy, and it's basically for intergovernmental agreements, and it's very predictable.
The general shows on your projection report a negative balance of $462,757.
That's correct.
I believe there's a bill on the governor's desk right now that's waiting, languishing for his signature. If he doesn't sign it, it's going to become law anyway. That, I understand from officials from this county, is going to end up costing this county $61,000 in fees because they're going to raise the rates on fees and cost another $61,000. Now, is that figured in on that $462,000?
No, that would be the traffic fees where the state will take $10 that we currently receive on speeding fines and keep put it into that special fund for the state troopers. And no, that is not included.
None of that $61,000 in this.
No.
That's another $61,000 deficit.
Well, it wouldn't be $61,000 by the time it's enacted. There's a delay, and we're already halfway through the fiscal year. But
so it would.
We're already seeing, and actually that one would probably show up in fines rather than in fees. Those are traffic fines, I believe.
That's still another deficit that we're going to have to incur. And I'm sure that the state's not going to send us any more of the money they owe us any quicker since they're going to take that $10 early.
Mr. Kurtz and then Ms. Wasaki.
Thank you. My concern was when we first heard these numbers that we needed a sense of fairness when we apply all our increases to all of our employees. All of our employees work hard, whether they're union or non-union or elected. The key here is because of the situation that our county is in and our state is in, we needed to take a fresh perspective of how we're going to apply any increases. And I felt very strongly that we needed to be fair across the board. And I think these changes do that. And I wanted to thank Ms. Busey for making those changes. And I think allaying some of the fears and misjudgment of what our county is doing so that we show a sense of fairness to all of our employees as well as the elected officials. Thank you.
Barbara.
Just a question. On these cuts, there are furlough days indicated. I'm going to assume that these are non-union or...
not necessarily.
Oh, really?
And this is information that has just been received, so we're still working on those issues. But I thought you needed to know that some departments are hopeful that furlough days will be part of the solution for the cuts they have to achieve.
And putting them in, how am I going going to say this, does not violate union agreements?
Well, we will be talking with the unions immediately after the county board basically authorizes or approves, you know, moving forward with these recommendations. And, well, yeah.
Brendan?
The bad news is that this is a heck of a situation to be in, and everybody knows that. Everybody's been reading the papers about every other, not only city governments here, but county governments from around the country. The good news is, if you look at the details of this list, and I sat in with some of the department heads as they were asked to make very difficult decisions, this is in the interest of saving jobs. Look at how many organizations, and I've seen counties lay off all of their employees. All of them. Some of the smaller counties just can't afford it, so they have part-time people. You know, this is a huge effort, because we did this last year. Remember, we came to you and we came to every employee and every department head, said, what ideas do you have? This was a year ago, and we're doing it again. And the department heads have been all over this. I am very appreciative of the fact that when you look down the list of additional explanation, you see a furlough day or two or 4 hours of furlough under a particular line item. Last year, what were we talking about? 7 days per employee? Per employee across the board. And the employees stepped up when we were open with them and came to them ahead of time, including the union, when we said, we're in a tough situation. And you said, we want our friends, our family, the people we've known for years to have a job too. We would prefer furlough days. What a cooperative spirit it was at that point. And I think that this is another example of that. And the point here is, we're not done. There's a long way to go. We need a cooperative spirit here to make this work. This doesn't involve nearly the personnel that I anticipated it would, because personnel is 70% of our county budget. So, you know, I think that this is incredible effort by the administrator and by all the department heads and elected officials, but with a word of warning that there's a ways to go here, and that spirit of cooperation is extremely important moving forward. I appreciate the effort to date. This is a moving target. Ask anybody. And this is a moving target that we have to address every single month. So looking at the indicators and looking at what the state's paying and how much they are behind on payments and all of that is a constantly moving target. I encourage us to show patience through this process and to work together on these issues. Thank you.
Carol.
On the revised recommendations from elected officials and non-bargaining employees, wouldn't it be a better position, because the target is moving, to set it at zero for the two recommended period of time, and then to reevaluate when we come to 2013 and 2014?
You can't reevaluate the elected officials.
Well,
you set it now, and
then
you
set
it for 4 years.
At this point, correct?
But
we can set it at zero then.
Yes, it's up to you.
Okay.
But you can't change it after May 31st, 2010.
It's revised every 5 years, is it?
Every time these officials are elected.
Every 4 year terms.
Right.
Okay.
Mr. Weibel.
Ms. Busey, the minimum budget cuts line 3, County Board of Public Official, who follow those? Who does that apply to?
Me.
I would ask that you do the same to me, please.
Okay. We are going to come back to this in the sections dealing with budget later this evening. But this time I want to go to public participation. If you're interested in speaking, you should fill out one of these forms and get it to the board. Angela Lusk. We do have a 3-minute rule.
Good evening. My name is Angela Lusk, and I live at 1202 North Lincoln, District 5. And so what I wanted to talk to you about, I'm obviously a union employee as well. And I think that most of the employees have come to a consensus that we would like, before you take any more jobs, one of our circuit court folks or whatever has gotten a pink slip today, unfortunately, and from the public defender's office. And before any more of that happens, we would love to discuss with you furlough days. And we'd also like to hear management taking furlough days. And, you know, for every one employee that makes very little money, you know, maybe they should take two as opposed to one. I don't know. I don't know what the solution is. I understand your problem. And I think I know that the state isn't paying their bills, so you can't pay yours, and that everything trickles down. I really feel like you guys have made an effort. I can see that, and I appreciate that, and I think all the employees do too. We just want to know that you're looking at management and you're looking at them and going, listen, does this person really work 40 hours a week for their $80,000 a year, or are they maybe working part-time? And I know that you can't do anything about elected officials, but there are many, 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 many elected officials or appointed folks who don't work a 40-hour work week or a 37-and-a-half-hour work week, as opposed to us, where we crumb those in every single day. You know, some of us have even kept time. And we're amazed at how little they show up for their job. And so we're saying, well, if they can't really be, if they're not at their job for that many hours, why can't we just, they take a couple of furlough days and say, you know, we could do without them anyhow. We can work fine without them anyhow. Why can't they do that? And you know, let's so be it, you know. The furlough days for the management would, as well as, you know, if employees had to do furlough days, I think we would all try to work with you, the union would. And we just don't want to see any more employees go without a job. And we've heard that the job that was cut today is actually not going to be a returning job. It's done. The position's no longer ever going to be filled. So I just, you know, I understand that. I just don't understand why management is getting cut right now. And I see some of them have been trying to take photos here with this, but I don't think it's enough. Thank you.
Nora Stewart.
Good evening. My name is Nora Stewart. I am the president of ASMA Local 900, which represents the employees of Champaign County. I stand before you tonight with the same sentiment as Angela. We, as the employees of the county, have no problem and do whatever it takes so that our co-workers continue to have jobs. As Angela said, one of our members got laid off today. Came in this morning, got her notice, said this is it. I have one problem. Why would you ask us to do something you're not willing to do? If you're asking us to take furlough days, then we would expect management to do the lead and do as well. I crunched some numbers today because one thing that was brought out was that maybe you would ask us to take one day less a week or even a month or even one pay period. I built the numbers on one pay period for management. This was not including the elected officials nor their chief deputies. And I came up with $192,000 in savings for management. Compared to what we make nothing but crumbs. So please, don't ask us to do something that you're not willing to do.
Paulette Trail.
Hi, my name is Paula Trail. I live at 807 South Victor in Champaign. I really don't know what to say, or what I'm allowed to say, or what I'm allowed to ask. For the last 6 years, I've worked at the public defender's office, and I got laid off today. And I said that I would work part-time and drop down to 25 to 30 hours a week. And I'm confused. I have no idea why, but my position is no longer there. It's very hard to find a job that you love. And for the last 6 years, I loved waking up in the morning and going to the county to work. I have a 6-year-old son. I have a husband. We have a house payment just like everybody else. I guess my question is, why wasn't I offered these furlough days that everybody is talking about? Why wasn't going down to part-time going to be helpful at all? I understand that the county's in financial trouble, but I don't think letting me go with $13 an hour compared to some of the bigger people is going to save the county's debt. I guess my biggest complaint is that I know that there's talk of people wanting to do raises for certain employees, and I don't know, and I don't understand how that can be asked for right now instead of waiting until next year to see how we're doing. How can you lay me off and then sit here and ask for raises? That's injustice and unfair and sickening. So that's all I have. Thanks.
Tara McCauley.
Hi, Tara McCauley, staff up in New York, Boston, Council 31, represent the employees union, as I think everybody knows. The information presented tonight, I'm not clear on the process. I don't know if the board is to vote on the presentation that Deb made. That does change the information we've had up until this point in terms of the plan for the non-bargaining unit employees at the county. That has been a concern of the union. Our members are the lowest paid staff at the county, and in bargaining county, the county has been asking for more health care, shifting the cost on our members. And I did see Pallas's email to the staff today, and it's actually, I have to make one correction. The county's not asking for $15. That's for this coming year, but they're actually asking for the employees to pay 30% of any increase in insurance costs. And that's a concern for us, but there's no limit on that. And our members are, like I said, don't have huge salaries, so asking them to pay 30% of any increase in health insurance costs would eventually put insurance out of reach for our members. And right now the county does not cover family insurance. They cover a portion of it. They cover a portion of it, but most of family insurance is not covered by the county, and so most of our members already cannot cover their families. So we're very concerned about insurance. We appreciate the gravity of the situation, we will discuss the changes that are being proposed for the non-bargaining unit. However, we hope that the board will continue to think about health insurance for our members, because we feel that county employees need health care, and we don't want to eventually make it out of reach for county employees. Thanks.
Thank you. With that, public participation is closed. Communications from the board members. Barbara.
I would like to bring to the board's attention the passing this week of George Burnison. I got to know George some years ago when he was a township supervisor for Ludlow and had agreed to serve on the Public Aid Committee, which is made up of township supervisors that review public aid cases that have been appealed. Anyhow, George was a great guy in so many ways, and I was sorry to read of his passing. And I think Champaign County has lost a good citizen.
Other communications from members? Seeing none, we'll go into Justice and Social Services.
Thank you. Good evening. First up, we have monthly reports. I'll accept a motion to Receive and place on file the monthly reports for Animal Control, March 2010, Head Start, April 2010, Probation and Court Services, March 2010, and Public Defender, January 2010 and February 2010.
So, second.
Moved by Smucker, seconded by Rosales. Any questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next, we have a request for approval of an application for and if awarded acceptance of an emergency operations center technology grant from the Illinois Emergency Management Association. Motion moved by Anderson. Seconded by Kurtz. Bill Keller from the EMA is here. Can I ask him to come up and speak to this, please?
This grant I tried to spell out in the memorandum I sent to you guys that this is probably a one-time shot at getting this amount of money and this equipment allocated to Champaign County. As everything seems to dry up, so does grant money, so to speak. Equipment-wise, we're looking at this equipment to be in place, usable for 7 to 10 years. It's all under warranty for the first 2 years. And it's not equipment we use on a daily basis. Emergency operations centers aren't open daily for this kind of thing. So we feel that this will enhance the total operation for the county and for the other agencies that play with us.
I guess I have a question. So if this grant is accepted, then obtaining equipment and actually placing it would require taking down a wall. Is that correct?
Actually, it would require building a wall.
Building a wall, sorry.
Yeah.
And then that would cost $5,000?
That's correct.
Okay. Ms. Busey, if you wouldn't mind, could you address where we would find that $5,000 from?
Well, I would probably recommend that you allocate that $5,000 from the Capital Facilities Replacement Fund. It hasn't been reserved there specifically for this purpose, but you do have over $100,000 in that fund that is to be used for buildings that you have responsibility for, and if the board authorized it, we would bring a budget amendment to extend that $5,000 from that fund this year.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Go, Mr. Jones.
I probably missed it, but if the grant was awarded, when would it come?
Probably by the 15th of June.
Okay.
It's kind of on a fast track, and that's why I normally you know, do the application, then come back to you to acceptance, but it's really on a fast track, so I was trying to do both at the same time.
Yeah, I toured your building over there, and I think some of that equipment probably needs updated from what I've seen.
Some of it is from 1966, that's correct.
Yeah, I saw the lava lamps.
Wasn't quite that bad.
So any further discussion? Yes, Ms. Cole.
Yes, when you receive this grant, will you be able to replace the $5,000 you used for the wall?
From the grant money? No, ma'am.
Any further questions? Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Keller. Other business, we have the semi-annual real closed session minutes. Ms. Busey, are we... Mr. DeThorne?
Your recommendation.
Yeah, sure. Your recommendation, please. Did they stay closed?
Okay. Stay closed.
Second.
Moved by Beckett, seconded by Lasaki. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. There's no chair's report. As far as items to replace in consent, that would just be number item B. And that is all from Justice. Thank you.
Now we're going to go to policy, personnel, and appointments. The first matter is the appointment for the board review. There's two different positions. Mr. Chairman, there's one that is a Republican position, one that is a Democratic position. Your nominees.
I nominate the Republican position. There's for Steve Bass.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Mosier. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. The Democratic position.
I nominate Wayne Williams.
Second.
Aye.
Court. Discussion. Mr. Nitto.
This permanent position, I'm not in favor of a person just coming on the Board of Review to take on the permanent position. He's still, Mr. Williams is in a position of training right now, and I don't feel at this stage, with the number of protests that we're expecting, that we make it a permanent position. And again, I've said this a number of times about Wayne. He's a quality person, and I don't have any grudge against Wayne, but I do feel that this is not the right thing to do at this time. He can certainly apply for, if we put somebody like Laura Sandifer in the position, make that a permanent position, apply for her position. Thank you. Mr. Beckett.
I concur with Mr. Nitto. I'd like us to have a roll call vote. I'm not speaking against Mr. Williams. I think he has a bright future. I think it's just too soon to put him in this position. Advancing this Sandifer and Mr. Jenkins are responsible for one of the major revenue decisions in the state of Illinois when they took on the exemption for those hospitals. Made it all the way to the Illinois Supreme Court, and it seems to me unwise to change these horses in the middle of the stream. You've got quality people. We're at a time when revenue is extremely important. I just can't see why, in view of Ms. Sandifer's experience, that she wouldn't be the nominee. Obviously, I don't have any nomination power, so my vote against Mr. Williams really isn't against Mr. Williams. It's because the wrong person is being nominated.
Mr. Gladney.
As I understand it, if we do approve Mr. Williams tonight, Ms. Sandifer isn't going anywhere immediately. She's still going to have a position there, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks. Mr. Weibel.
I'd like to ask Mr. Jenkins to come up to the microphone and maybe talk about Mr. Williams' experience.
Warn me of this. I can say this about Wayne. Since he's been on board, he's demonstrated a complete willingness to learn what needs to be learned. I've spent a lot of time training him personally. We have gone over procedures for accepting complaints. We've done role playing in terms of accepting assessment complaints, how to respond, questions to ask. We've gone through the procedure of training him for how to deal with disruptions, how to prorate values. We've gone through procedures, at least initially, in terms of dealing with appeals to the Property Tax Appeal Board. Wayne's a sharp guy. The only thing he may not be prepared for, and I've explained, I've talked to Wayne about this, and I've talked to Pius about this, is the massive amount of work that has to get knocked out in a hurry between September 11th and December 31st. There's a lot of work that has to be done in that period of time. And the only reason he is not prepared for that is because no one can possibly be prepared for that until they're sitting in that position and they have a stack of assessment complaints about that deep on their desk that have to be gone through with some diligence and some analytical skill to figure out what's right for a taxpayer when they think they're being overassessed. Yes, sir.
Ms. Sandifer has already done that. She's already waded through the mounds of complaints.
She has, yes, sir.
All right. And Mr. Williams is filling a temp. He's ending a term, right?
He's fulfilling a vacancy.
Right. And so there'll be an opportunity to reappoint him at the end of that term, right?
That is correct.
Thank you.
Ms. Ammons.
I just wanted to say that I think we've, on the previous appointment, of Ms. Sandifer before had been down this road with a previous appointment. I think it's commendable that the chair would consider Mr. Williams. I've watched him not only do short-time turnaround deadlines, but on the issue of assessments, I watched him put his own personal money and energy and time into going to training to learn how to do it in the city of Champaign. And I think it's time for us to appoint new people and give people a new opportunity. And I think Wayne's appointment represents exactly that. And he doesn't come without skill, knowledge, and ability. He comes with that. And so I think that this is a very good appointment. And certainly, of course, the chair has the authority to do this, but I would full and wholeheartedly support it so that we would have prepared new, young folks to join in this effort to serve Champaign County.
If I could, I would like to point out, too, you know, I didn't realize I was going to be up here speaking tonight. This is not about pitting one member against another member, Laura or Wayne. But the fact is, Wayne is more credentialed to step into this job now than I was when I was appointed to the Board of Review, or Laura was when she was appointed to the Board of Review. And speaking for myself, Wayne has probably asked better questions, harder questions, after being on the job for the period of time he's been on the job than I would have ever thought of asking when I'd been on the job for that same period of time.
Mr. Mosher?
Has he done a full-blown appraisal yet? The income approach and the replacement approach and the comparable approach?
I don't know, but here's what I know, Steve, is when we do evaluation for tax purposes, an income approach is not always necessary. The cost approach is often pointless because that's typically on new construction. We're doing evaluation. We're not doing full-blown appraisals. And to come up with a valuation, a range of value, yes, he has. And I've sat there at his elbow and worked through them with him.
I know a lot of appraisers that have been in the business for 20 years and they still can't do that.
I think it's
mandatory that an appraiser be able to handle all three approaches of value, because down the road, somebody's going to bring one in here, and it may not be worth a hoot, and it may be the best thing there ever was, but
you've got
to be able to look at it and analyze it and say yes or no, I agree with it.
But 95% of the 95% of the complaints that we deal with or appeals are residential values. It requires a valuation, not a full-blown appraisal, including the cost approach and the income approach. But we have people there with that experience, because he doesn't have 20 years of appraisal experience like our friend Steve doesn't mean he's not capable of doing an evaluation for a residential property. When I came to the Board of Review, I was not a licensed appraiser either.
You were a real estate salesman. I mean,
I know, but we don't like to talk. That's a dark period of my life. So,
Mr. Smucker.
Yeah, I just want a clarification. So Laura Sandifer is currently
on? She's currently on the board. Her term has time to go. She can reapply for her term. Mr. Williams is currently holding this office, so he's being reappointed for the full term. He's completed out the portion. Now he's being reappointed to the term. Ms. Sandifer would like this term because it's a longer term. She's been on many years, and if the the way in which it is structured by state law is that the party that gets the highest number of votes in a countywide race gets the majority appointments on the Board of Review. And because there are no Democrats running in Champaign County countywide, theoretically, the Republicans, not theoretically, in reality, the Republicans will have the highest number of votes countywide, so they will then have one additional seat. on that board. They could reappoint Ms. Sandifer, which they've agreed to in the past, or they don't have to. But her term would still exist. She's not being fired at all. She continues to be there until such time as that election takes place and that term runs.
When does that term run? Until when?
The point of information, by state law, they go from June 1 to June 1.
Mr. Kurtz.
I'm sorry. I was still asking. When does the term, her term, run until?
June.
June 1st, 2011.
2011.
Right.
Mr. Jenkins, from what you've seen so far of Wayne, and obviously you've worked very closely with him, even though it's a short period of time, do you feel comfortable as assessor that he will do the job that you expect of someone on the Board of Review?
I think he can do the job, and we'll probably bump heads if he doesn't.
Thank you.
Brendan?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, roll call. I'd like to join in the roll call request. Outside of the fact that I know Wayne, I like Wayne. He's a fellow White Sox fan, which puts a lot of stock for me. But I don't care about that. I care about people doing the job. I care about the fact that this is so important to crank through the volume of business, as I understand it. And I've talked to Wayne directly. He knows what I think. He knows that I've got concerns about the pace that is before the Board of Review. I've talked with Laura. I've talked with Steve directly. I have a lot of respect for Stan. Stan, you know, I'm a little bit worried about the volume, as I understand it. I don't know, because I'm not in that office, that the volume's gone up a lot the last several years as far as number of cases to deal with. Is that correct?
The volume has went up a lot last year. It did. No question about it.
Anticipate that continuing?
No.
No?
Okay. I do not. And here's the reason. Normally, when township multipliers go out, those are going to raise the values of most townships. This year, for the very first time, we had 13 townships that had a zero increase as a result of multipliers. We had one that actually had a decrease as a result of township multipliers. We have a lot fewer notices went out with an increase this year than we've ever had in the past. Secondly, a lot of the township assessors have put things on hold this year, except for new construction that they picked up. We're probably going to have fewer assessment notices go out this year than we've ever had in the period of time that I've been in these two offices. Third, I think, and numbers prove this out, according to the Board of Realtors, the total sales volume between 08 and 09 was down approximately 2%. If you take out the $400,000, $500,000 homes that have seen a drop in value, if you take those out of the equation, if you take Rand Tool out of the equation, which is seeing some real difficult times, if you take those two and some other small towns too, if you take those out of the equation, if you're looking at your normal residential property that's between, you know, $75,000 up to $175,000, $200,000, those values have remained pretty steady. Things are selling slower. They're on the market for more days. There are fewer sales, but when they do sell, they tend to be holding value pretty well. So I think the general environment for, now, I could be dead wrong. We could have 3,000 complaints this year. I just don't think we will. My experience tells me I just don't think we will, and I think the real estate environment, the sense is that it's improving. Sales are picking up a little
bit. I appreciate that. If I may follow up, the last point is that I've been confused during the entire process here with permanent position versus whatever the other position is called. I don't know what that is.
They're both permanent positions while you have them.
I don't understand why one is being called permanent, the other one is not. As I understood it, this is, so they're just different positions. As I understood it, one was permanent, one was some other classification that several people expressed interest in this one. So I have been under the impression the entire time that I would be supporting the top two experienced people at cranking out the suck, which would be Steve and Laura. That's just what I think about this, because it has not been stated clearly to us as a board. I think others, if it has been, I apologize for being dense on this, but I think it's been confusing, has it not? I don't know. So others can talk to this. But I'm going to vote no on Wayne, not because he's not qualified to do the job, but because I worry about the pace, and I want the most qualified people going at this now, and that he's got the opportunity to apply for the next position as well.
Let's point something out. Let's get this permanent, non-permanent thing over with. They are positions. They are staggered terms. Laura currently, Sandifer, holds a term. Her term is going to expire next June. She wants the other term because it has a much, much longer time to go. The proposal that I just heard earlier by someone is that, gee, if she gets this term, then we would appoint Wayne to her term so that she could fill that out till June. Well, all the issues are the same, except the length of the term. That's all we're talking about, is the length of the term. It is not about the qualifications of the individual, it's about the length of the term. One person wants a longer term for more job security. Period. That's all it is. The other individual's already holding a term on that board. Mr. Weigel.
There's a further complication. Let's say we nominate Ms. Sandifer, and she's elected to that position at the next county board meeting. That means immediately she takes the job that Wayne Williams has now. Wayne Williams is out of a job. That position is open. There's not enough time to advertise for that position until probably July. That means that position is open for 2 months to go down again. Well, that means you've got 2 months where that person's not getting experience, assuming he would be elected in July. So that puts a little bit further pressure on the board review. You've got a two-month period where there's only two people. Something to think about.
Mr. Smucker?
I don't even know how to say this except to say it straight. This is as inappropriate as I have ever seen anything since I've been on this board. My understanding is that Mr. Williams is currently in this position, fulfilling a term for which he was appointed by this board just a few months ago, at which point we determined by that appointment that he was qualified to fulfill that position. And now, because someone else wants it, we will unappoint him by giving the position to somebody who's better qualified.
Deb?
I just wanted to point out, because this was surprising to me when I first learned it, that I understand the structure of the three Board of Review members' appointments to be as followed. In even-numbered years, you appoint a Republican and a Democrat. In the odd-numbered years, you appoint someone, and they're offered to your terms, you appoint someone who is of the party of the top vote-getter in a contested race countywide from the previous November. I believe Ms. Sandifer is applying for this term because there is more permanency if she's a Democrat and she's appointed to the Democrat term. The appointment that she currently has, which occurs in the odd numbered years following an election, swings back and forth. And that's when you see changes in who is appointed to the Board of Review. I just remember it because when I first started working with the County Board, I was surprised when Suzanne Hendren, who had been the chair and was the longest seated Board of Review member, was removed because a Democrat had been the top vote getter in the previous election in a countywide contested race, and so a Democrat was appointed instead of Suzanne Hendren, who was a Republican. So I think, understanding that, you can understand why someone would want one of these appointments, which are affiliated only with party and are not dependent upon the outcome of a November election.
Other questions, other concerns?
I would have to sing praise to Laura
Sandifer, David Sandifer, because I did have my little personal Katrina about 2005, where I had extensive flood damaging or water damaging in my home. And I actually, because of the political rigmarole between the two parties, I was slandered that I was living in Urbana and not Champaign. For approximately 3 years, I worked closely with Laura Sandifer to assess my property at a loss of over $250,000, which is still in litigation, and be properly assessed. I did not live in the home for approximately 3 years, stayed a short period of time in Urbana, and then subsequently moved to Champaign until I was able, and finally able to move into my current home of 20 years, where I'm staying now. And she helped me through every step of the process. She helped me with the deadlines, as well as assessing the damages that had incurred, and actually what the property value was worth. Probably it would have been a lot better for me to raise the property and have built a whole new home than to have gone ahead into the extensive construction projects that I did. So in this particular notion, as a politician, which we are, I would tend to support Laura in this longer term position because of her experience in particularly working with me.
Yes.
I listened to Stan speaking up there, and I'm one that I always say that the people that are out there in the trenches doing the work and working with those that are handling the job probably have a lot more experience about what they need and what they don't need than all of us sitting here, even though we have the votes to cast. I was undecided coming into here because I've heard stories on both sides and facts. I praise Laura. I think she's a wonderful woman. I think she's done a lot of good work. But on the same token, if I was trying to work my way in, and just because I may be a little green behind the ears doesn't mean that I couldn't do the job or I wouldn't do the job. Stan has alluded to that. Stan is the one. I like that name, by the way. He's the one that's going to be working with these people. I take him at face value, and as my dad always told me, be careful what you wish for because you'll pay the price.
Jim.
I think Mr. Williams has a really good background. His education in accountancy at the U of I, and which is an excellent school, I think it prepares him. I know in other areas he's a hard worker, willing to go the extra mile. I think Ms. Sandifer, when she took the position and was willing to take the seat that was a Republican seat, when the Republicans did not have a candidate that they wished to, knew that this was a risk that she was taking, that it might not be there forever. And having just appointed Wayne and hearing Mr. Jenkins' testimony of the work that he's done so far and his experience with him, I had intended to support the chair in the appointment, but I think it reinforces my vote for Mr. Williams.
Mr. Shin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't mean to disagree with what Ms. Anderson stated, but I want to bring up some history about what the Republican caucus came up with at that particular time when it was Republicans' choice for the Board of Review. After an unfortunate pick for supervisor of assessment by the majority party, the Republican Party thought it was in the best interest of the county to appoint someone with experience, and I had not known Laura Sandifer before. But getting to know Laura Sandifer, she's a great person. She's a hard worker. She goes out of her way in that board to do what's right and do a good job. And it's her prerogative that if she wanted this position, I don't blame her for asking. Now, it's our decision to decide what we want to do, but I do not regret putting Laura on there. She's done a fabulous job, and I'd probably do it again.
Mr. Kurtz, do you have a final?
Yeah. As Mr. James stated, I've worked with Mr. Jenkins here through a very contentious wind farm time. We sat together for many, many hours, and I've listened to his expertise on a lot of things in assessing, and I have tremendous respect for his opinion.
And he's the gentleman who's got to work with these people. And he's the gentleman who heads up that department. And
just clarification.
I understand, but you're doing the training, and you're seeing the results of that training. And from your opinion, and which I highly respect, because I've worked with you in the past, you find Mr. Williams more than adequate, obviously, to do this job. And I feel it's important that we listen to the experts. I've always learned that if you work with the best, that you can be the best as well. So I will vote for Mr. Williams.
Mr. Jay, you look like you had something to say.
No, I don't. I'm waiting for
that. Oh, okay.
Yes.
I guess what sticks in my mind is your first comment saying that you were concerned about him being able to keep up.
Is that still your concern?
That would be my concern with anybody that's coming on the board of review that's new, that's never been in the job before.
We're going to have a roll call. There's no question about that. But the chair does have the prerogative of speaking. I have been on this board, actually myself and Mr. Mosier, senior members of this, in this room right now, and Ms. Cowart. Every single time the Republicans have put someone up as a matter of courtesy, even if I disagreed with that candidate, it was the majority party's prerogative to select that individual. I voted for that individual. I voted for Mr. Vance tonight. I served with Mr. Vance in the county board years ago. I disagree with Mr. Vance on just about every political issue I can think of, but I voted for him because that is what we do. We honor one another in that fashion as long as we're putting forward capable, qualified people. There is no one in this room that has said that Wayne Williams isn't capable, that he isn't qualified. In fact, everybody admits that he is capable and qualified. I have known Laura Sander for way more than a decade and her husband. I have total respect for her, both as a person, as a person in this position, and as a party activist, quite frankly. I like her a great deal as a strong Democrat, just as Mr. Williams is, and just as Mr. Vance is a strong Republican. We are not changing the dynamics of this board if we put Mr. Williams on there. He's already there. Ms. Sandifer is already there. So the work is exactly the same. If we decide that we're going to put Ms. Sandifer in there, then we have that two-month gap, and he may very well then be appointed, but it's the same people. Less than 6 weeks ago, we had a unanimous vote saying he was qualified and put him in, and now he's not the right choice. That is incongruous, to put it mildly. That being said, clerk, call the roll.
Ammons.
Yes.
Yes. Anderson?
Yes.
Beckett?
Yes, on me?
Sure. Yes.
No.
Benzel? Betts?
Yes.
Carter? Cowart?
Yes.
Dennis?
No.
Gladney?
Yes.
James?
Yes.
Jay?
No.
Jones?
No.
Knott?
No.
Kurtz?
Yes.
McGinty?
No.
Michaels?
No.
Mosier?
No.
Nudo?
No.
O'Connor?
No.
Richards?
Yes.
Rosales?
No.
Sapp?
No.
Schrader?
Yes.
Smucker?
Yes.
Weibel?
Yes.
Wysocki?
Yes.
Tied.
I got a horn.
I have 13-12.
No, I have it. It's tied. 12-12.
12-12. Mr. Weibel.
I believe the calling down rules just goes on under the length of the county board.
That's the full county board. That's correct.
Okay.
Scott Fire Protection District.
I nominate Benny Magsman.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Schrader. Discussion?
Okay.
There's only 22 people here.
Oh, here.
Oh, put in this 22.
Who?
This person.
This one got me. You.
Did that come to me? Come to me. 12. Mr. Schrader, did you want to discuss Mr. Magnuson? Did you want to speak to that nomination, Magnuson?
Sure, Mr. Chair. I'd be happy to. Bernie has been on a drainage ditch commission. He's very conscientious. He's a pretty sharp guy. He'll replace a gentleman that's been on that board, Mr. Harold Farley, for quite a few years, and I think he'll carry on and do the same kind of job that Mr. Farley did.
Further discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. The motion carries.
I'm sorry.
That was Mr. Schrader. Urbana, Champaign Sanitary District.
Christopher Hives is my nomination.
Is there a second? Second by Mr. Beckett. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. Dewey Community Public Water District.
Amanda Edwin Holzhauer.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. James. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. Pinfield Water District.
Amanda Michael Truong.
Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. James. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. Sangamon Valley Public Water District.
For the full term, I nominate David Chestnut. For the partial term, I nominate Michael Larson.
Second by Mr. Mosier. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. Administrator's report.
The vacant positions listing is provided for your information. The next item on the agenda is the what was presented to you last month for the policy committee's consideration, the job content evaluation committee recommendation for position classifications as a result of having gone through the process of reevaluating all of the non-bargaining positions for the county, with the exception of nursing home and regional planning commission. And while the recommendation for salary administration will be that these positions be frozen in wage, we still request approval of the classifications, the updated classifications, which result as well in updated job descriptions and position titles, which have all been approved by the relevant department heads and elected officials, so that we can enact this work that was done by the committee. We would request your approval.
Move approval of the recommendation for the administrator.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by James. Discussion. Carol?
Of the recommendations here with the summary that's on page 51 would take effect in fiscal year 2011.
Well, they could actually take effect immediately. The 2011 referred only to the portion of setting the salaries, and since we are not recommending any changes in salaries, I would request that they become effective immediately.
Meaning the new job descriptions.
Mm-hmm.
And when will the salaries be brought back for recommendation if the grade levels are changing?
There is not a single incumbent who would be below the salary range minimum, so I would not anticipate bringing back a recommendation regarding salaries until a year from now when we do the fiscal year 2012 non-bargaining employees salary administration plan.
Further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries.
Recently, we were contacted by an organization called CGI, which is a NACO-sponsored initiative to provide a tool for counties through a video or TV screening or application that promotes the county, and it would be hosted on the county's website. Not really hosted there. You would get to it on the county's website. It's actually hosted on a website that is provided by CGI. So Andy is going to give you a demonstration of what, just a little bit of an overview of what this program would do for us, and then we want to request your consideration of it. This is a program that would have absolutely no cost to the county in any way. It is probably in many instances viewed as an economic development tool for a county, as a way to really promote your county and talk about who you are and what you have to offer. So in light of that, we did review it with the Economic Development Commission here with John Dimmitt and one of his staff members, who thought it looked like a great opportunity for us. They are putting together a similar kind of video to on their website for a 90-second spot. They had they're paying $30,000, and with this proposal, the county would be able to obtain 10 minutes, 10 60-second spots at no cost to the county to promote different areas of the county. So with that, I'll let Andy kind of take through it.
So this is one of our clients. It's Jefferson Parish, Louisiana. This is Jefferson Parish's website, and over on the left side, you'll see a video tour book, which is actually what CGI Communications prepares for their customers. So basically, all we would do on the county's website is we would provide a link somewhere on our website on the main page to the video tour book that CGI Communications would develop. They have little vignettes about life in Jefferson Parish, information about real estate, quality of life, educational opportunities, economic development, health care, film industries, dining and shopping, tourism, parks and recreations. And each one of these is a little video that demonstrates something about their area for anybody who might be interested in visiting or potentially relocating to the area. So basically, what they would do in order to pay for this is they sell these little advertisement links that are up here, each one of these, depending on the sponsorship that the businesses choose, can range anywhere from $900 to $6,000. A $6,000 sponsorship gets the advertiser of a 60-second video shot by CGI Communications and hosted by CGI Communications to highlight that particular business. So basically what they have asked from us is authority to come into Champaign County and shoot these little videos. We would have to decide what we wanted to highlight in our community and how we wanted to present it. They'd help us develop the scripts, and then they'd come in here for a 1 or 2 day period sometime this summer and do some shooting around the county, and then they'd edit it all together for us in this kind of format. And then they would take a letter from the county introducing themselves around to various businesses in the community or community organizations, asking them if they were interested in having purchasing advertisement on this site.
Counties in Illinois in the last 2 weeks who have signed on to work with CGI to provide this on their websites include Henry and Peoria. So what we are asking you tonight in the goldenrod attachments you have, the first page is the County Movie Toolbook Agreement. It delineates everything that they would provide for us. And on the following pages, there's additional information about their sponsor pricing structure and how they go about obtaining sponsors for the website.
So I always get hesitant when I hear something's for free, but if they don't get enough sponsors, do we still get our glory on there?
They will. This commitment will be for 3 years, and they will keep the video that they develop for us, and it will be posted out there for 3 years. I assume at the end of 3 years, if they had not obtained enough sponsorships to maintain it, they would probably not offer its renewal, but that's how it works initially.
In the meeting that we had with them, they told us that they did used to charge for this service, but they were unable to get units of local government, such as ourselves, who are in financial straits, to pay for this service, which is why they've gone to offering it for free and having it ad-supported.
Mr. Kurtz.
Okay. So they do all the solicitation.
They do all the solicitation.
So our staff wouldn't be involved other than some type of thing.
Something on our letterhead is all we need to provide them as a means of introduction.
Mr. Kurtz.
This was Jefferson Parish. Can we meet Stephen Chagall? Did you meet him there?
No, this is just something they gave us. We might be able to see if he can come talk to us.
Before we voted on it, we could meet with him.
Okay. I would entertain a motion. Mr. Staff?
Just a question. I guess my concern is more for, as we think of, we talk in economics all night and impacts of economics, and a lot of companies right now are struggling, and part of the budgets that are going out is advertising budget. They can't afford to advertise, and I just feel a little uncomfortable putting the county in a position where we're asking businesses to fork up $1,000 to be a sponsor on our page, and some businesses might not be able to do that given the economic situation. And are we excluding those businesses? You know, I don't know. They could go out and advertise other places, but I'm not sure the county wants to get into that. That bothers me. Comment, I guess. It's free to us, but it's still concerning.
It's advertising for those businesses. And if they have an advertising budget and they decide that this is a venue that they would want to take advantage of, then that's the option that they have.
In the meantime, can someone put a motion on the floor so we can either vote on it or
move approval?
Okay. It was moved by McGinty, seconded by Beckett. Mr. Kurtz.
This is great PR for us. 3 years of free marketing on the Internet. I mean, if companies don't feel that they want to sponsor this website, they just refuse. The point being is that we're not putting pressure on them to sponsor this website, but we're getting 3 years of pretty great opportunity to show what Champaign County is all about to the country and to the world. And, I mean, we're an international city. We have some wonderful things that this website can talk about. Everything from the university and sports in our town to Kranitz Center for the Performing Arts, for our wonderful agriculture and great tourists. This is a phenomenal opportunity to get a free service. Got free, I know, free scares, Mr. James. I know. I know. Scares him. But I'll tell you, sometimes there are free lunches. Maybe this is one of them, and I give it a shot.
Did you have your hand up, Mr. Mosher? We all agree we're afraid of free, I guess. Any further discussion? Does anyone want a roll call on this one? Okay. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same?
Aye.
Ayes have it. It's passed. Okay.
Thank you.
Under other business, let's go to the addendum, and I'm going to ask Mr. Beckett if he has a proposal. You have this pink sheet. Does everyone have a copy of the pink sheet on your table? Everyone got a pink one? If you recall, last month we had the hearings regarding board size, and they went on for quite some length, and we then had in the policy committee a full discussion about the various options, and I told you I would come back and try to synthesize what I think the options were. If I'm missing something, let me know. But the 2211 was basically what Mr. Rosales had suggested. That was my interpretation. 18 was Mr. Beckett's original substitution for my 17 singles. Maybe it was Mr. McGinty too, and others. And then there's, of course, the current one. We're not taking any binding action tonight. This is a straw vote to see whether we need to actually take a real vote at some point and decide this issue. But in the interest of getting input, and I know not everyone's here, Mr. Beckett developed this, and we've kind of gone back and forth on emails. I've expressed some of my concerns, but I think he's going to allay them a bit during his presentation.
My suggestion is, because you can vote more than once, that you probably have a first priority. And so my suggestion is that we do a weighted vote. And so you can actually vote three times by assigning 3 points to your first priority, 2 points to your second, 1 point to your third. Now, you don't have to do that. You can put 3 points and then that's my only priority, and that gives that priority more weight than the others that you reject. So, for instance, if you thought that the current plan, the way the board is formulated right now, the current one, you might give 3 points to that one and zero to the rest. What we're going to do, because we can't have any secret ballots, is we'll have you use this as a tally sheet, and then Mr. Betts will just go around to us and have us give the points, and then we'll tally them. Ms. Musi will tally them, and that'll give us some sense of the board of which of the proposals had more weight. So I ask unanimous consent that we proceed that way.
Got it.
Is it a second, Mr. Nudo, on unanimous consent?
I did.
Okay.
I mean, point of order, is this,
go ahead.
Is this an appropriate form of straw polling? Does this fit in with parliamentary procedure?
Mr. Beck and I have gone back and forth today on this, because my initial reaction was it certainly we couldn't fill it out and just turn it in. So what you do is fill it out, and then we're going to ask for public vote on each one of those choices. So we're going to do a roll call 1, 2, 3, 4 times in order to do this, because that was my concern, and I think Mr. Beckett somewhat shared the concern by the time the day was over. We were there. You obviously, if you don't agree, you don't have to vote for unanimous consent. Then that's what's on the floor right now, is a motion for unanimous consent to permit this. So that's what your question should be about.
I want to talk about the map I included, which is one of the options. I think this might be the proper time. On page 5 of the handout yellow sheet, there's an example of a county with a number of single member districts. LaSalle County has 29 districts. A month or two ago, somebody asked if we could have examples, and I pulled this one out. I'm going to point out the population of LaSalle County is about 110,000 people. So each district has about 3,800 representatives. Voters.
Just so you know, we're talking about the motion of unanimous consent, so let's try to stick to that point. Anyone else want to speak to the motion of unanimous consent? All those in favor of using this system and by unanimous consent signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay. Mr. Beckett.
I wanted to respond to what Chair Weibel said. Actually, Mr. Nudo and I met with a firm to see if we could get a sample map, and then we checked with Deb, and Deb checked with GIS. And the top two proposals that we get tonight, in June, we could actually have a sample map of what districts might look like, because Ms. Ammons asked about that last month, and so we wanted to see if we could come up with a sample map using the 2000 census figures. And GIS tells us that they think they can do it, and they'll do it for us for free. Something for free. For free.
Hey, Mr. James.
All right, so that's another incentive to make your selection tonight for the top two to look at to see what they would be like.
Okay. Now, does everyone understand what we're doing? The next question is, we discussed this ad infinitum over the past several months. Do we want to continue to discuss the various proposals, or do we want to go ahead and cast weighted votes and have me do roll calls? Brendan?
I think in the interest of time, I understand your desire to do that. I think that's great. I would like to hear from someone supporting the 11 districts, 22 board members, 2 members per district, aside, just to understand that argument thoroughly before I decide, please.
Go ahead.
Well, the McGinty proposal, which I put in writing, because you always said you, because you did not, because you guys always said you were going to, and you never did, just like I make motions for Mosier, because he always says he's going to. All right. Anyway, I support the 2211. And the reason why I do is because, in my judgment, it gives the 11 districts, takes into account the multi-member concern that many board members have expressed, but it also gives the greatest flexibility of having districts that will represent minority interests, rural interests, etc., that you have a greater opportunity to have districts that can be representative of other, you know, concerns in the county by having the 11 districts. So we would actually increase our flexibility, I submit, by going to 11 districts. And that's the reason why I support that one.
Mr. Lush.
I suggested that to Mr. Beckett last month, and I thank him for making the motion.
Whatever motion was made, my notes indicate it was actually Mr. Rosales who did it. But, you know, credit can be spread. Does anyone else want to speak to these issues? We have a huge budget meeting coming up. Does anyone else want to speak to the merits of these? Okay. What I'm going to do, and you can cast 3 points. You can
3210.
But you can't cast 33333 for all.
Correct.
So you've only got so many points that you can cast here. Excuse me, Mr. Nutter?
Mr. Betts, can I give you an example?
Go ahead.
So I've already filled out my ballot, so when Mr. Betts calls me, I'm assuming he's going to call me and say, what did you say for 2211? And I'll say 3. And then he'll do that for everybody. Then he'll ask 18-9, and I'll say 2. And he'll ask everybody. Then he'll say 17-7, and I'll say 0. And then he'll ask everybody. Then he'll ask current, and I'll say 1. And so I've done 3-2-1. I voted 3 times. Now, I could have just done 3.0000, right?
Right. You can't cast more than 5 points total.
Six points, excuse me.
That's why I'm not sharing budget. Okay. We're ready to begin. Does everyone understand? If there's confusion, it's my fault. We should start to call the roll.
I'll call it. Which one do you want to start with?
Why don't we start with 22 board members, 11 districts.
Okay. Ammon?
3.
Anderson?
2.
Beckett?
3.
Benzel? Oh, he's not here, sorry. Betts?
2.
Carter, Cowart, which leaves Dennett. Gladney? Left. James?
3.
Jay?
0.
Jones?
3.
Knott?
3.
Kurtz?
0.
McGinty?
3.
Michael?
3.
Mosier?
2.
Nudo?
3.
O'Connor?
0.
Richards?
3.
Rosales?
2.
Sapp?
3.
Schrader?
2.
Smucker?
0.
Weibel?
0.
Wysocki?
3.
Okay. Oh, Beth. I'm sorry.
It's not going to be a tiebreaker, too.
Okay. I actually did have you down for 2.
Okay.
Where'd you mind?
2.
No, you should get them at the end.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Now we're going for 18 board members, 9 districts.
Okay. Ammon?
1.
Anderson?
1.
Beckett?
2.
Betts?
0.
Dennett?
1.
Gladney? James?
0.
Jay?
0.
Jones?
2.
Knott?
1.
1?
Yes.
Kurtz?
Zero.
McGinty?
Two.
Michaels?
Zero.
Mosier?
Zero.
Nudo?
Two.
O'Connor?
One.
Richards?
Two.
Rosales?
Three.
Sapp?
Zero.
Schrader?
Zero.
Smucker?
Zero.
Weibel?
Zero.
Waisaki?
One.
Okay.
That's...
I got them already.
It was zero. 17 members, 17 members, 17 districts. This is single member districts.
Hammond?
Zero.
Anderson?
Zero.
Beckett?
Zero.
Betts?
Three.
Dennett?
Zero.
James?
Zero.
Jay?
Zero.
Jones?
One.
Knott?
Zero.
Kurtz?
Zero.
McGinty?
One.
Michael?
Zero.
Mosier?
Zero.
Nudo?
One.
O'Connor?
Three.
Richards?
Zero.
Rosales?
One.
Sapp?
One.
Schrader?
Zero.
Smucker?
Zero.
Weibel?
Two.
Waisaki?
Two.
Okay.
Ready for the final one?
No change? Keep it as it is?
Yeah.
Keep it as it is. Current 27 member, 9 districts.
Ammon?
Two.
Anderson?
Three.
Beckett?
One.
Betts?
Zero.
Dennett?
Three.
James?
Three. Zero.
Jay?
Three.
Jones?
Zero.
Knott?
Zero.
Kurtz?
Three.
McGinty?
Zero.
Michael?
Zero.
Mosier?
Three.
Nudo?
Minus one. No, zero.
O'Connor?
Zero.
Richards?
One.
Rosales?
Zero.
Sapp?
Zero.
Schrader?
Three.
Smucker?
Three.
Weibel?
Two.
Waisaki?
Zero.
Hey.
Okay.
You want the scores?
Yeah, if you get the scores, that would be great.
Okay. 22 members, 11 districts, 45 points. 18 members, 9 districts, 19 points. 17 members, 17 districts, 16 points. No change, 27 points.
I guess what I would like to do is next month have for action, where we're actually voting, if it's agreeable to folks, the top two are 22 and keeping it the same. Keeping it the same, we have to vote because reapportionment is coming up. You have to set a number regardless. Does anyone want a third option? If not, I will leave it as 22 members and 27. Carol?
Just a quick question. Prior to this, we said that we would have at least the GIS do the first top two. Well, we already know what 27 looks like, so...
No,
we
don't.
I guess, no, that's right. That would change, wouldn't it?
It would change.
So, would we have that at the next board meeting? This is my question.
We're told we would. That's my plan.
Would we have it in our packets prior to the next board meeting? The problem is coming and being.
I believe you will. We requested it for the first week of June, which is the week that we mail out your packet for this committee of the whole meeting.
Is everyone agreeable to the two items for action that I'm talking about? Is 22 and then the current? Or do you want me to draft? Okay, that's what I'm going to go with. Okay. Designation of items to be placed on the consent agenda. Excuse me, we have the semi-annual review of proposed amendments. Did we do that? What is the recommendation by the city's attorney?
To maintain them closed.
It's to maintain them as closed. Is our motion?
Moved.
Second.
Second by Versace. Discussion? No.
I just have one question on the, is there any provision at what point would old records become public? My concern has always been that we unanimously or somewhat unanimously vote to keep them closed regardless to the length of time that they may have been closed.
Deb?
Well, my understanding from talking with Mr. DeThorne is that takes a very extensive review, and he is still working on that, and he wants to come up with some guidelines and parameters where the board will make decisions about doing just that. And so at your next semi-annual review, I think it's possible that you'll be looking at some of those issues to open up some of those old minutes.
Mr. Cubs?
I was just curious why we continue to retain performance appraisals from employees that are long retired and in some cases dead.
They're confidential personnel documents, unless they're dead, I suppose.
Confidential. But if they are dead.
Yeah. They may not care as much. I hope. Was there another question? All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. Mr. McGinty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First item on finance is a budget amendment. This is 100043 for $68,013 to receive insurance reimbursements for auto and property claims in 2010. Is there a motion for approval by Barbara? Second by Carol. Is there discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Next up is budget amendment 100047 for $520,000 to accommodate the receipt and disbursement of ARRA grant funds to eligible subgrantees for energy efficiency and conservation projects within Champaign, Douglas, Ford, Iroquois, Livingston, Piatt, Vermilion, and DeWitt counties. Is there a motion for approval? By Carol, seconded by Barbara. Is there discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion carries. Next, I'm going to go to the amendment. Addendum number 2, item number 3, amendment 100048 for $4,196. This amendment is needed for proper accounting of the county auditor's state stipend. It's the first year the state has paid the stipend for auditors, so it wasn't budgeted in the 2010 budget. Is there a motion for approval? By Steve Mosier, second by Geraldo. Discussion. Barbara.
I understand that the same state of Illinois that can't pay its past bills is now granting an additional stipend. Go figure.
Is there any other discussion? Stan.
Is that money already here? Is it on the way? Or does anybody know?
Give it 120 days.
140.
It's already here.
Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Kat is grabbing the sheets, please, when they come around. Finance Committee, sign, please. And on to the Administrator's Report. Deb.
Well, I assume I do not need to go over the revenue projection report again since we went over it earlier this evening. The second item, the general corporate budget change report, is unchanged from last month, so probably don't need to spend much time on that either. And then the Harrison Harris monthly collections report is with the Goldenrod. We just received it yesterday, so that is in with those attachments this evening. Is there any questions? Okay, the fourth item is an IMRF update. It's on page 11 of the Goldenrod attachments that you have this evening. We have received preliminary notice from IMRF of the rate increases that we should see in fiscal year 2012. The regular rate, if we adopt the phase-in rate again, goes up 10%, and the SLEP rate, if we adopt the phase-in rate, goes up 8.85%. Unfortunately, this last week has been crammed, so I did not get the chance to finish what I wanted to potentially present to you tonight, so I will present it next month. And that is, we have a fairly healthy fund balance in our IMRF fund in Champaign County, and I would like to investigate with IMRF if we could pay the actuarial required contribution for this current year that we're in. That would be an additional $390,000. I believe it would have a positive impact on our rate for fiscal year 2011, and so I will bring that back to you next month with more information. I just wanted to let you know that we will be looking at that. You don't have to adopt the rate until August, so this is a preliminary notice at this point.
And also at this point, can we go ahead and accept and place Deb's other reports on file, please?
Second.
Moved by Steve, second by Barbara. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Okay, then the next item, number five, is the elected official salary recommendation. And again, you've received previous recommendations from me with a lot of background information. The recommendation that I am presenting to you this evening is revised, and it's in the Goldenrod attachment, and it is, as was stated earlier this evening, for the 4 years that the treasurer, county clerk, and sheriff would receive increases of 0% for 2011, 0% for 2012, and the CPI or COLA adjustment for 2013 and 2014. The only other information I would provide to you at this point in support of this recommendation is the fact that we have historical information going back to 1986, and typically if you adopt freezes for a four-year term, at some point after that, you're going to have to adopt bigger increases just to keep these positions competitive and where they should be compensated in the marketplace. So that is the basis for my recommendation. I think it matches what we're doing with other employees to have a two-year wage freeze, but I think at the end of that term, we should expect to pay at least the CPI increases to these individuals.
Motion by Steve, second by Brad. Discussion, Brad, then Pius.
Yeah, I'm very pleased with Deb, your revised plan to come back and tie this to the CPI. I think that's a really good idea. Kind of take some of the politics out of these decisions, I think it's a good idea. But the thing that concerns me is, and I left one of these at everybody's desk, is the economic numbers. If you look at the second, the bar graph right in the middle, it tells you the change in the CPI over 1, 3, 5, and 10 years. And you can see that the inflation rate's been, 2.4, mid twos for quite a while. And the problem is, as we all know, in the last year, we've had a huge increase in federal spending, and a lot of economists, I'd say most economists, expect that to translate into a much higher rate of inflation coming up. So I'm very concerned about having a 5% cap on this. I think the first 2 years freeze is great. Going to an inflation adjustment after that is an excellent idea, but I'd really like to see that cap lowered. And in a traditional time, I'd like to see it at 3%, but given our current budget issues, I'd like to see the cap for those last 2 years lowered down to 2%. And I'd ask everybody to keep in mind that the elected officials are very highly compensated, and I think our other employees are looking at two-year freezes. I think it's very reasonable to ask elected officials to have a two-year freeze and then a lower adjustment after that. So I do move a motion to amend Deb's proposal to cap the last 2 years at 2% rather than 5%.
There's a motion by Brad. I'm sorry, who made the second? Diane. Okay.
I couldn't hear. Did he say 2?
2%.
2. Okay, thank you.
Right? They're at 2. Okay, so the cap at 2. Discussion to the amended proposal first. And Pius, did you want to address that particularly?
No, I'll discuss the main motion. So.
Okay, if it passes, we won't get to the main motion.
No, this is just an amendment. Just
an amendment. Oh, an amendment, I'm sorry. Okay, John.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to thank Mr. Jones for the original idea, for the original motion, and for this amendment. He's done a lot of work and coordination with you and Deb. But Brad takes a lot of credit. He's done a good job putting this in there, so thank you.
Other comments about the amendment? Carol, did you have something?
This is, of course, my original position of having it at 0%, but the 5% really kind of leaves us in the dark, very, very dark, looking at projections that we have, and none of them are even at 2.5. So I think it's a safer position to move from the capping at 2% as opposed to 5% at this point. So I would support that.
Other comments about the amendment? Seeing none, all in favor of the amendment at 2%, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. So, the original motion on the table. Pius.
Just a clarification on the resolution for 2012 and 2013 for board chairs, that blank.
It was every 2 years.
I know. Well, the whole point is that, you know, I think that we should clarify that that the county clerk chair has a four-year cycle, therefore we have to vote on for them. We could vote on for county clerk chair for the next. Well, next four years too, but it will be changed in 2 years.
No, you can't.
I don't think you can, because that's a 2-year term. I don't think you can set it for...
Well, no, we can set it for 2012, 2013.
Right. Isn't that what we're doing?
Right.
Thank you, Ms. Ladd. 12-1-2010 is fiscal year 2011. 12-1-2011 is fiscal year 2012. And then 2013 fiscal year and fiscal year 2014. We gave the start date of the fiscal year. It's probably somewhat misleading, and we could change that for the final resolution.
Okay.
But since the entire board is reorganized in 2012, I would not recommend including 2013 and 14 with this one.
Well, this is my last chance of ever getting a raise, probably.
Any other comments on this issue? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That motion carries.
Okay, items 6 and 7, if you want to consider them together, that would be fine with me. Item 6 is, again, adopting the classifications, which results in updated job descriptions and job titles for all the non-bargaining positions that have been reevaluated by the Job Content Evaluation Committee to be forwarded to the full board, and then the salary administration plan for 2011 to go along with that would be a wage freeze or 0% increase.
Move approval. And that's omnibus, both 6 and 7.
Motion by Steve omnibus for those two. Is there a second?
Steve Mosier.
Steve Mosier, seconded. Discussion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That motion carries.
I would request the committee to defer the budget process resolution until June, and which means we will be delaying the start of the budget process, but there is so much going on right now, I would request that be deferred.
So moved.
Motion by
Can't defer.
Okay, I would just ask that you allow me to bring that back to you and you take no action tonight.
Is that agreeable? It looks agreeable. Thank you. Thanks, Dan.
I'm on the addendum.
Oh, I'm sorry. Two items on the addendum, number 9 and 10 on addendum number 2.
Okay. Number 9 is a recommendation for the amendment to the fiscal year 2010 budget. And what I would like this evening is basically direction from the Committee of the Whole to bring back to the County Board at the May meeting a budget amendment which reflects the cuts to the 2010 budget to achieve close to $1 million in savings for fiscal year 2011, with the information that you have before you this evening as a good idea of what that will look like.
Is there such a motion by Steve, seconded by Greg? Discussion. Sam.
I wanted to ask about within this in the spreadsheet we have with the projected cuts from the different departments, are there layoffs in that spreadsheet?
The public defender had one layoff, which he provided notice to that individual today as a position he believed he no longer needed to keep. That is the... And there may be a layoff of temporary employees, but other than that, none that I'm aware of.
The state's attorney
has layoffs. Hers was presented as a lump sum, so I don't have all the details on that.
Okay. I just would encourage, us to look for ways to work with the employees to look at furlough options, to look at other options before we do layoffs. If there is a genuine reason to do the layoff in terms of the organization of the work, then that's fine.
I think the only layoffs that are being done because that is the opinion of the affected elected official or department head, that it is the most reasonable and responsible action to take.
I guess the question is it it's happening now because we're in this budget situation, but I'm just saying there's many ways to deal with it. Money is flexible. You can move out money in many ways. The issue is if there really is overstaffing, that's fine. Let's deal with that. But if that's not the issue, if we're really just trying to find ways to save money, let's look for more creative ways of saving money than laying people off. That's my suggestion.
And I would submit to you that your elected officials and department heads are well aware of that and have done everything they can to ensure that unless operationally it makes more sense to do a layoff, and it's evidenced by the listing, that they will use other measures in order to accomplish the cuts that need to be made.
Sam, I haven't met with all of them, but I met with some of them. They're drilling pretty deep as far as I'm concerned. I mean, especially after last year when we asked them to do a very, very similar exercise. I think jobs are the number one priority.
No, and I understand that. But again, there are... because we're asking every department head to deal with their budget situation, we're not dealing with it as a whole, right? So everybody has to go into their own department. Some departments have less flexibility than others in how they can deal with it. Some departments, their entire budget is going to be salary. Other folks are going to have more wiggle room. That's all I'm saying is that there may be alternatives to deal with things.
And I would submit to you, we're already doing that because a department that is almost largely personnel may be sharing and not making the fully required cut because a cut is being made by another department in a greater amount than what is required of that department, so that we can make sure that we're creating the least impact as we can in terms of what you're talking about. So what we really need to get from you at this point is a direction to move forward with going this. I mean, with doing this. The county board has to be behind implementing these cuts. So step one was getting department heads to acknowledge whether or not they could even reasonably consider making them. That exercise was finished by about noon today. The next exercise is for the county board to give a commitment that you are going to support that we need to cut this budget for this year by this amount of money, and then the following steps between now and your meeting next Thursday will include talking to the bargaining agents who are affected by changes in personnel, and that's why I'm not asking you to specifically approve everything here. It may be a little bit varied by the time we bring it back to you next Thursday.
Greg, and I think we should commend the elected officials and department heads for year two in a row that, they know best their departments, their budgets, the expenditures to come, and it shouldn't be us on a micro level doing it. I think, Sam, they're doing exactly what you're asking, trying to minimize the staffing changes. I commend them for it, and I think this is a good plan. I think also to commend Deb and the staff for being proactive. If we were in the 10th month of the budget, $1 million on a percent
percentage basis is way bigger than it is right now. So I think, you know, we commend ourselves to some degree, but certainly the elected officials, the staff, and the administration for stepping forward and doing the right thing.
Any other discussion on this topic? Alan?
One last question about the $1.6 million shortfall. You've got $1 million now. You're anticipating some change probably in the state revenues that might make it look a little better, but what if that you've got the $600,000 shortfall? What's your next step?
Our fund balance will drop at this point
to dangerously low levels, which it is pretty close to right now. Anything else on this topic? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries.
The last item is really should come to you under county clerk, but it's listed under my report. But the county clerk did propose that we adopt an ordinance to increase the statutory county clerk fee for Champaign County. We did a cost analysis of his operation in 2002-2003 with Maximus, and that analysis indicated that we could raise this fee to $9.51, and it was only raised to $8 at that point in time. This would generate new revenue in the amount of $20,000 in a year, and the county clerk has requested that we forward this recommendation to you for consideration.
A motion for approval on it by Steve O'Connor, seconded by Sam. Discussion. Steve Beckett.
If it was $9.51 in 2002, why aren't we raising it $2?
Because we would have to do a full-blown another cost analysis to document.
How about $1.51, or does that make problem making change?
The county clerk elected to pick this dollar amount.
Other comments?
I'm sorry. I'm trying to figure out this fee for the county clerk is to be applied to what again?
Birth certificates, death certificates, marriage licenses.
It's $9.51.
Actually, he's recommending to $9, I believe. The cost analysis indicated that our actual cost of producing those was $9.51. It has something to do with the copies. And I'm sorry, I can't explain the whole thing.
Other questions or comments? Carol?
The current fee again? $8.
Okay. Anything else? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
That motion carries. Is that it, Deb?
Thank you.
Thank you. Dan.
I want to give you a brief update on how General Corp's doing from a cash flow position. Today we were lucky to get $570,000 and get some quarter cent money, 1 cent money, and some other pass-throughs from the state. So our balance today in cash for just General Corp is $257,000. I remind you, of course, that 1 month payroll is $1.5 million. Now, what makes that bank account not so bad is that we do have a second fund within that bank account. That's capital asset. I can remember that. $1.2 million is there for that. So I'm looking at projecting at the end of the month we should show a balance of about $1.2 million. This will be the first month we'll receive actual proceeds from real estate taxes. We sent out tax bills April 30, and we'll be making our first distribution at the end of the month. If last year's any guide, we made a distribution of around 25% of what we totally expect. So that's a big factor. And when I say about $257,000 where our balance is today, we need to remember that we've borrowed $1.6 million from public safety. And we've also taken some early real estate money, but to the tune of about $900,000. So $3 million is already in that. Now, we still only have to pay the 2.1 back, but that'll be our challenge going forward. The rest of my report is in your packet, and I would ask that you accept my report and place it on file, please.
Motion to do so by Steve Mosier, seconded by Steve Beckett. Questions for Dan? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Motion
carries. Thanks, Dan. Tony.
You all have your purchases not following the purchasing policy report on your desks tonight.
and there is nothing on here that isn't an 09 expenditure paid out of 010. And I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have about that.
Questions for Tony?
Seeing none, I also have my auditor's report, which I would appreciate it if you would accept and place on file.
So moved.
Motion by Steve, seconded by Al. Any questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tony. Next up, under State's Attorney, request for approval of an intergovernmental agreement between the Department of Health Care and Family Services and the State's Attorney. Is there a motion for approval by Alan Kurtz, seconded by Barbara? Discussion or questions? Seeing none? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That motion carries. The semi-annual review of closed session minutes. Is there a state's attorney's opinion? Keep them closed. Is there a motion to do so by Steve Beckett, seconded by, I didn't hear, Mosier? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That motion carries. From the addendum number 2 under other business, number 2, approval of intergovernmental agreement for the JAG program. Is there a motion for approval?
So moved.
By Stan. Is there a second? By Alan. Questions? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. I'm going to save the closed session for the very end so we can get through all the other business. There's no chair's report. The items for consent are A, 1 through 3, B, 5 through 7, and number 9, E1, F2. And that is it. Tom has asked me to go ahead and take care of item number 11, which is approval of the closed session minutes from the Committee of the Whole of April 13th. So a motion for approval by Steve Beckett, seconded by Jan. Any questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Who has the closed session? Barbara.
I move that we enter into closed session pursuant to 5 ILCS 120/2C2 to consider salary schedules for one or more classes of employees. I further move that the following individuals remain present: county's legal counsel, county administrator, elected officials and department heads, HR generalists, and the recording secretary.
We need to continue. Do you actually still keep an exit?
No, Mr. Sir. Carol, call the roll, please.
On the budget committee, for heaven's sake, you have to come back here.
Ammons.
Yes.
Anderson.
Yes.
Beckett.
Yes.
Betts.
Yes.
Coates not here. Dennett.
Yes.
Gladney. James.
Yes.
Jay.
Yes.
Jones.
Yes.
Knott.
Yes.
Kurtz.
Yes.
McGinty.
Yes.
Michaels.
Yes.
Mosier.
Yes.
Nudo.
Yes.
O'Connor.
No.
Richards.
Yes.
Rosales.
Yes.
Sapp.
Yes.
Schrader.
Yes.
Smucker.
Yes.
Weibel. Wysocki.
Yes.
We're in close.
Can we open the door? Can we open the door?
I move we adjourn.
Okay, second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Mr. Carey, we adjourn.